الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونزلنا عليك الكتاب تبيانا لكل شيء وهدى ورحمة وبشرى للمسلمين صدق الله العظيم سورة النحل of the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that he sent down the book yani the Quran sent it down on thee O Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam tibyanan li kulli shay that this book might explain all things And therefore that this book might explain that time in the historical process when history reaches to the late afternoon. The late afternoon of history is a special time. There remains now a little bit of time left before the sun will set and history will end. So Allah speaks of it as Al-Asr and He takes an oath. When Allah takes an oath, we better pay attention. I take an oath. By history when it reaches the late afternoon wal-asr innal insana lafi khusr at that time in the historical process all of mankind will be in a state of loss they're going down the river And it's a river that will take them to their destruction. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Except those who have faith. And when you have faith, of course, you have eyes with which you can see. When you have faith, you have eyes with which you can see. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Not only do they have faith, but they are righteous in conduct. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ And at that time, they would survive the last stage of history, when all the rest are going down the river of destruction. Not only because they have faith, not only because their conduct is righteous, Because in addition to that, they are a people who hold on to truth, regardless of the price they have to pay. And they invite others to also do so. But when you hold on to truth, in that last stage of history, when it is the late afternoon of history, then holding on to truth will be like holding on to hot coals in your hand. And so Allah says, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ Not only must you hold on to truth, but also be patient in the late afternoon of history. And we are in the late afternoon of history now. And so the Quran must explain the world at this time. And this Quran has come with guidance. Tibyanan li kulli shay wa huda. and with guidance. So right, guidance does not come from the university, and it doesn't come from the government. Guidance comes from Allah. وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, and for those who turn to the Book of Allah for guidance and who follow that guidance, good news for them, that they will survive while all the rest of mankind go down the river to their destruction. We begin now with Allah's blessed name. We praise Him and we glorify Him as He ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all His noble messengers, and in particular on the last of them all, the Blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as we greet you at Masjid Baluch here in Mombasa in Kenya with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our subject is one that is located firmly in Akhiru Zaman, the end time, the late afternoon of history. It is entitled The Messiah and the Imam. The Messiah and the Imam. Judaism believes that history will end with a Messiah who is to come. And when He comes, He will come to them, to Banu Israel. He's not coming to the whole world, He's coming to them, because the Lord God is sending Him to them. And when He comes, He's going to establish His rule over the world, that He will establish a holy state in the Holy Land, in Jerusalem. And they call it Holy Israel. And He will rule the world from Jerusalem. That is Judaism. That history will end with the Messiah ruling the world from Jerusalem. The Christian believes the same thing, that the Lord God is going to send the Messiah, and that Messiah will rule the world from Jerusalem, from a holy state. But the Christian believes that the Messiah came, and the Messiah is Jesus, the son of Mary, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And that He came and He left, and He's coming back. And the Muslim believes the same thing, that history will end with the Messiah who will be sent by the Lord God, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent not to the world, no, sent to the Israelite people. He is their prophet, not ours. And when He comes, the Messiah will rule the world from Jerusalem, from a holy state. But the Muslim shares with the Christian the belief that the Messiah is Jesus, the son of Mary, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And the Muslim shares with the Christian the belief that He came and He left and He is coming back. And so there is a convergence, all three, the Jew, the Christian and the Muslim, all believe about the Messiah and about the end of history. that the Messiah will rule the world from Jerusalem. But from where did this belief in the Messiah come? Does the Quran tell us anything about it? There are two kinds of verses in the Quran. And this is by Allah's kindness and grace and wisdom. Most of all, His wisdom. That in the Quran, there are ayat muhkamat, which are plain and clear. Even Washington can read them. But in addition to that, there are ayat mutashabihat, which cannot be understood unless they are interpreted. And of course, the classical example of an ayah mutashabiha is the one concerning Ramadan, where Allah says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكلوا واشربوا, eat and drink during the nights of Ramadan. حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر. Eat and drink until the white thread of dawn is distinct from the black thread. So one companion understood it as muhkama, literal. So he got the white thread and he got the black thread and put it underneath his pillow. And in the morning, he's looking to see when to stop eating and to begin the fast. Eat and drink until the white thread of dawn is distinct from the black thread. And he was having difficulty. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, who then at that time and not before, only at this time and not before, he gave the ta'wil, the interpretation. And then this was mutashabiha. He said, when Allah spoke about the white thread and the black thread, what he meant by that is eat and drink until the light of the day, the light of the day is distinct from the darkness of the night. At that time, you must not eat anymore. At that time, you must stop eating. And then you begin the fast. So this morning, I looked at the Mombasa sky. Yes, this morning. And 5 o'clock, I could see no light. No light in the sky, none. I don't know, maybe my eyes are bad. And 5:10, I could see no light. Maybe the others who have better eyesight than me. 5:15, I can see no light. It was only close to 5:30 this morning that I could begin to see light and darkness in the sky. I just mentioned that to you, that you might want to take a look at the sky as well. So here is a classical example of ayah mutashabiha. And when we turn to the Quran to understand this subject of akhiru zaman and events in akhiru zaman, we find that very often Allah has given it as a form of mutashabiha. And you have to be able to connect the dots to be able to understand. Now listen to this oath. Someone asked me, I went to visit his father here in Mombasa, and he said, Sheikh, there is this passage in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. I can't understand. Can you explain it to me? And he quoted from Surah Al-Waqi'ah. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. Allah takes an oath by the stars, but not just by the stars and their beauty. No, not just the starlight. بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ, the positions of the stars, the places where the stars are located. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. And Allah is saying, this is no ordinary oath I am taking. This is a tremendously important oath that I am taking. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. What is it? إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٍ. Surely this is the Quran, and it is a noble kitab, a noble Quran. Now listen. And the Quran is in a book. The Quran, are you listening? The Quran is in a book, and this book is protected. The book is protected. Let me repeat it. The book is protected, and in this book which is protected, you will find the Quran. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. And none can touch the book, or none can touch the Quran. Which one is it? And none can touch the book, or and none can touch the Quran. Which one is it? Except those who are clean and pure. So when he asked me the question, I was about to tell him, go to my book on methodology for the study of the Quran, where I've explained that you have to study the Quran the way you study the stars. That the pilot on the ship, for him these are not merely beautiful things in the sky. He has to understand how the stars are connected with each other. And similarly, you have to understand how the verses of the Quran are connected with each other. But before I could give him the explanation, his father came and I couldn't answer him properly. But I kept on thinking about his question. And then I realized, no, Imran, it's not just that this is the way you study the Quran. It's more than that, much more. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. This is not just another subject. That the way to study the Quran is the way to study the stars. Allah is saying, this is a tremendously important oath I am taking to you. And so there is vast knowledge in the Quran. But part of that is knowledge which has to be interpreted. And therefore that knowledge will constantly unfold in the world. And there is so much knowledge in this Quran, but none can touch it except those who are clean. Is he talking about the Kitab? Oh, anybody can go and pick up a copy of the Quran in a bookshop. Huh? Even George Bush could do that. So what does it mean? That none can touch the Quran except those who are clean. It could not be the physical Quran. So some have said, in fact many have said, no, it's the Quran in Lawh al-Mahfuz, that one. You cannot touch it except you are clean. But there's a problem with that as well. Because over there, everybody clean. There's no one unclean over there. Well, then what does it mean? Answer, this is mutashabbiha. This does not refer to physical touch. Allah is saying that you cannot penetrate even 1 inch of the knowledge of this Quran, the wisdom in this Quran, the guidance in this Quran, unless you are clean. That is the Quran and Akhiru Zaman. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam is the ruler, ruling the world from Jerusalem, from the holy state of Israel. And the Israelite people are ruling the world. And then suddenly, he dies, and the holy state collapses. And it has never been restored. It's like Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam dies, and the state of Medina collapses and has never been restored. Banu Israel to this day do not know why it collapsed. But we know why, because Allah has told us in the Quran that Sulaiman alayhi salam saw the vision. You know about it now, don't you? And in the vision he saw someone sitting on his throne. You know about it, don't you? Shake your heads. No? And it was a jasad. And Allah showed him that vision, and he responded by immediately understanding that this was an evil, 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 evil being, and he wants to inherit my kingdom. So he immediately made the dua that none should inherit my kingdom after me. La yambagi li ahadin min ba'di. And that there could never be another kingdom like his. And Allah answered his dua. That is the explanation. That when he died, everything collapsed. That is the explanation. But Banu Israel is broken-hearted. So it is in that context, their broken hearts, that Allah then gave them this promise that I'll send you a Messiah. And he will belong to you. He'll be your Messiah. And he will bring back that golden age when Israel was a ruling state in the world. And Israel ruled the world from Jerusalem. And that's what he'll do. And this brought comfort to the heart of the Israelite people. But when Allah sent the Messiah, he sent this Messiah with the mother of all tests and trials. And because, unfortunately, they could see with only one eye, they were blind in the other eye, meaning they had external vision, but they were internally blind. Anyone who lends money on interest, anyone who uses riba to rip off people will be internally blind, which is why modern Western civilization today is internally blind. Yes. And they said, no, he cannot be the Messiah because his mother is not married. So she committed that vile act of zina. And so he, when A'udhu Billah min Hath, he's a bastard, so he can't be the Messiah. And they rejected him. And then they demanded that he be crucified, because this was blasphemy to declare that he is the Messiah. But what they didn't know is that when they put him on the cross to crucify him, and he himself did not know what's going to happen, Allah spoke to him. And the conversation is recorded in the Quran. And the schoolboys must be told that when something is established from the Quran, you don't bring hadith to refute it. That's only for schoolboys. When something is established from the Quran, you cannot bring hadith to refute it. What nonsense is that? How many times must we repeat that for the schoolboys? So he's speaking to Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And this is Surah to Ali Imran. We who teach, we don't have to tell you what is the number of the ayah. That's all we have to tell you, the number. The surah, you have to do the homework. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا عيسى O Jesus, إني متوفيك I'm going to take your soul. If Allah takes the soul, He can do only two things, not three. He can either keep the soul, in which case you're dead, or He can return the soul, in which case you did not die. But Allah said they did not kill him and they did not crucify him. So obviously Allah took the soul and returned it. Inni mutawaffik, I'm going to take your soul. Wa rafiuka ilayya, and I'm going to raise you unto myself. He didn't say, I'm going to raise you to the Samawat. He didn't say, I'm going to raise you to Jannah. He said, I'm going to raise you unto myself. So that's where he is. وَمُطَهِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا And I'm going to do something more than that. Nabi Isa is listening and Allah is speaking. I'm going to cleanse you of all this kufr which they have hurled against you. That your mother committed sin, that you are a bastard and all these things. And that has already been accomplished. Because no one dares to stand up today to make such a charge about Maryam alayhi salam. No one dares to stand up today to say about Nabi Isa alayhi salam, wa na'udhu billahi min hath, he's a bastard. So Allah has already cleansed his name. But then Allah went on to say something more. وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ I know these words are too heavy for some because of centuries of misguidance. They cannot stomach these words of the Quran, and they bring 1,000 hadith to try to refute the Quran. What nonsense. And I'm going to take those who follow you, Allah is saying. And I'm going to raise them, those who follow you. And I'm going to raise them to a position of dominance over this other group which has rejected you. And that is the Jews. And now you have Christians who are in alliance with those Jews. and that's modern Western civilization. And they are the ones who have NATO as their military arm. So Allah is saying, I'm going to cause those who follow you to be raised to a position of dominance over them. And when I do that, they will remain in that position of dominance in the world until the end of the world. Let us repeat it. وَجَاعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِئُكُمْ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. So who are those who follow Nabi Isa alayhi salam? Be careful. Because in the grave, the angel will ask them, the schoolboys, who is your Nabi? This question will be posed in the grave. You and I know what answer we're going to give. Our answer, about which we don't have any doubt at all, is plain and clear. Our Nabi is Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the Nabi we follow. But the schoolboy? The schoolboy? The schoolboy said, I'm following Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Is this the answer you're going to give in the grave? I'm asking you, schoolboy. Are you a follower of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam or a follower of Nabi Isa alayhi salam? Which one? The reason why he has to say that he is a follower of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, because he wants to say, I am the one who will rule the world. It is impossible for him to stalk that a Christian people who follow Nabi Isa alayhi salam, that they should be the ones who are dominant in the world. He cannot accept that. The schoolboy will not be able to digest his biryani. And so, it is plain and clear that history will end when the Messiah comes back and he establishes a holy state. We call it the Khilafah state in Jerusalem, Holy Israel. And the Messiah will rule the world from Jerusalem. And those who follow him, you know there are two kinds of Christians. Kenya knows that well. There are those Christians who follow Jesus, or who are trying to follow Jesus, and the others who are very comfortably following Santa Claus. We don't recognize these as Christians. We're talking about this one. This one. I was flying to Mombasa from Bangkok maybe two weeks ago, and on board the aircraft I met a Kenyan Christian, and we had a very, very friendly exchange of views. And he said to me, Sheikh, the majority of Christians in Africa, they don't follow Santa Claus. That's what he said to me. So, here are a people, from the time they are following Nabi Isa alayhi salam, the fruit of that, Allah says, that they will be closest in love and affection to Muslims. وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. And so the Christian who is following Jesus alayhi salam will not only rule the world in the end time, but he will be closest in love and affection to Muslims. Well then, isn't it foolish, or I should use a harsher word than that, isn't it downright stupid? Huh? For scholars of Islam to take a sword in their hand when they approach the Bible? and to try to dig out everything bad they could find in the Bible, and then have debates, and when you win the debate, all the cattle and all the sheep and all the asses in the world clapping, we won the debate. Is that the way? وَدُعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Call people to the way of Allah with wisdom, not this stupid way, with a sword in your hand, approaching the Bible to show how many nasty things there are in the Bible. No! Show that in the Quran Allah says, you will be the people who will be closest in love and affection for us. Now then, what is the role of this Ummah? When Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns, before he returns, Allah will raise the Imam. And when he comes back, he'll come back in a masjid, and the Imam is about to lead the Salat, and the Imam will recognize him. This is the son of Mary. And the Imam will invite him to lead the Salat, and he declines. He said, the people have appointed you as their Imam. You lead the Salat. Why does he decline? Allah says in the Quran about Nabi Isa alayhi salam, وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابِ. Allah will teach him the Quran. This could not be for the first time he was here, because the Quran not yet revealed. So this has to be about when he returns. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابِ. When he comes back with this knowledge that Allah has taught him the Quran. What hikmah, and Allah has given him wisdom. But then Allah goes on to say, what Torah wal Injil. And Allah will teach him the Torah, and Allah will teach him the Gospel. And so, schoolboy, how can you say that there is no law except the law of the Quran? No Sharia except the Sharia of the Quran. Well then why does Allah teach him the Torah? Why does Allah teach him the Gospel? If these books have no operational validity, that they are all mansukh, will the schoolboy not listen? No. Nabi Isa alayhi salam will still have his Ummah. And we are not a part of that Ummah. And that Ummah will still have the Torah and the Gospel. That is why Allah had to teach it to him. But he is a Nabi. And there is that Ummah and there is this Ummah. So he has to guide us as well. He is not going to lead us. Because he said to the Imam, you lead the Salat. Why did he do that? If he had accepted the invitation to lead the Salat, the implication is that he would immediately have become Amir al-Mu'mineen for the Muslims. But Allah never sent him to us. Twice in the Quran Allah says, I sent you to Banu Israel. This is why he declined to lead the Salat. When will the schoolboys wake up? When will they learn how to study, how to think? This is the reason why he declined to lead the Salat. Because if he had accepted the invitation, he would have become Amir al-Mu'mineen of the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So he is going to lead that Ummah, and he will be ruling the world. So how could Imam al-Mahdi be ruling the world? When will they wake up? The Messiah has come to rule the world. And Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that when Nabi Isa alayhi salam comes, he would come as al-Hakim al-Adil. the one who will rule with justice. So if he is ruling the world, would Imam al-Mahdi be also ruling the world? When will they wake up? When will they wake up? No. Imam al-Mahdi would not be ruling the world. No, 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 no. And don't come with 5,000 ahadith to try to contradict the Quran. That's only worthy of schoolboys. Imam al-Mahdi will lead the ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And between this ummah and this ummah, there'll be love and affection. And there'll be cooperation and collaboration. And Imam al-Mahdi will die. But Nabi Isa alayhi salam will continue to live after the Imam dies. And after the Imam dies, we will have to appoint a new Imam. Because Nabi Isa alayhi salam is not our Imam. And so history will end with two ummas. The ummah of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, which will be the ruling ummah in the world, because Allah says so in the Quran. And the hadith cannot contradict the Quran. And there'll be the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which will liberate Makkah and Medina and restore a Khilafah state. But before that happens, a fire will come out of Yemen. And that fire will drive them to their judgment. And the fire has already started. The fire has already started. If only they have eyes to see. That they've been bombing Yemen mercilessly, shamelessly, disgracefully, sinfully, and everybody in this masjid except those who are traitors and who have the intelligence of donkeys, everybody will recognize that this is sinful, what they're doing to Yemen. And after you bomb Yemen and bomb Yemen and bomb Yemen and destroy Yemen enough, then Allah will cause the fire to come out. And we're already seeing the flames coming out. And so we're already seeing the day when Makkah and Medina will be liberated of these traitors. And on that day, the Khilafah state will be restored. I have put aside my money in dinar for my Hajj. And on that day, I will make the Hajj, inshallah. And if I'm not alive, somebody will do it on my behalf. But I'm not going to make the Hajj while these traitors are controlling the Hajj. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may grant us the knowledge of the Quran, that with the Quran,